Chapter 25. The rain had stopped by the next morning. I whipped up a pan of homemade lasagna to take with me to the Carver farm. Yes, I had decided to try my luck at finding someone there to talk to. Perhaps a member of the family or a chatty neighbor would have stayed behind to take phone calls from friends or to accept a condolence dish of food. And just maybe that same someone would offer a bit of information about the people on the estate, their backgrounds, or how they got along with Miss Evangeline. Funny how I hadn't traveled the road to the Carver place in more than 40 years, and now it was becoming quite familiar to me. Leaving my escape in the parking area, I walked between wet shrubs until I was, once again, at the impressive gray door. I rapped with the brass knocker and waited. No one came to answer my knock. Cautiously, I tried the door. It was unlocked. Pushing the door open, I stepped inside. The hall was dark and shadowy. "Hello," I called softly. The house seemed listening and empty. Why had I never noticed the painting of the middle-aged man, whose clothes were plainly from a previous century, which hung on the wall? Had it been hanging there the other times I was here? And why did his eyes seem to look directly into mine? Giving myself a mental shake, I tore my gaze from that unnerving portrait. This trip was evidently wasted, but nothing ventured, nothing gained. I'd take my lasagna and go home. Miss Evangeline believed in ghosts. I didn't, but if they were real, I could think of no better place to haunt than this ancient mansion. As I turned to leave, a faint sound came from somewhere within the house. Was that a footstep? Perhaps someone was home after all. Maybe somebody was in the kitchen and hadn't heard my knock. "Hello," I called again, my voice echoing in the vastness. I tiptoed down the hall. For some reason, the atmosphere of the house seemed to call for stealth. I would check the kitchen, and if no one was there, I'd leave. The kitchen was empty of human life, and it seemed cold to me. No fragrant aroma of coffee greeted me, no welcome light shone from overhead. The gray light of day seeped through the windows. A kitchen should be the heart of a house. It should have felt warm and inviting, as it had the first time I was here and met Miss Evangeline. But today, it was a lonely, dreary place. Admitting defeat, I decided to leave my offering of food, scribble a note that I had been here, and go. But on second thought, should I do that? Would the family wonder why I had felt free to come inside the house when they were not at home? Perhaps I'd better not write the note, and no one would know I had come. I'd take the lasagna with me and count this a useless trip. My idea about searching this house for the lost trust seemed silly and far-fetched. Now that I was here, I would have no idea where to begin. Besides, I really wasn't into home intrusion, and, as Pat said, the house was a bit on the creepy side. I had no trouble identifying the sound that I heard next. It was definitely a footstep. There was no denying that I was not alone in the house, and someone was coming my way. Wildly, I looked around for another way out. Wasn't there a kitchen door? In my panic, I couldn't see one. With no escape visible, I would have to hide. Explaining my presence in this house would be a little sticky, and I didn't want to try to convince anyone I was here innocently. The pantry seemed my only option, but it would work only as long as no one entered it. Did the pantry have an outside door? I pictured myself crouching beside a shelf of canned food, waiting for a chance to leave. The fireplace! It was huge, with an inglenook built into one side. An antique chair sat in this area. In olden days, it would have been a cozy place to keep warm and read or knit. I tiptoed to the chair, squeezed around it, and hunkered down behind it. The footsteps came closer. If this unknown person happened to look my way, he would see me crouching there. And if he didn't, he'd surely hear my pounding heart. I had forgotten to take the lasagna with me into my hiding place, and there was no time to retrieve it. Pressing my hand against my mouth, I stifled a scream as a tall, dark man strode into the kitchen. Mick Morrow, the the arrogant man who had interrupted Jules and me in the garden. I got a good look at his chiseled face and hooked nose. He might be Pearlie's brother, but they did not resemble in the least. He glanced at the dish of lasagna, shrugged, and began pulling open drawers in the kitchen. I breathed a sigh of relief. Maybe he thought Myra had left the dish there. The dark kitchen was in my favor, and I prayed he would not turn on a light. He opened the doors under the sink, gave a quick glance, and moved to the fireplace. Kneeling down on the hearth, he ran his fingers over the bricks. He was looking for something. As he moved closer to the ingle nook, I prayed silently, asking the Lord to hide me. Standing up, he turned his head toward the window. I heard it too. A car was approaching. Had Lila's funeral ended? As softly as a cat, Mick left the kitchen and disappeared somewhere within the house. I took a deep breath. I was in a tight place with little room to move. Pushing against the ingle nook's brick wall to give myself leverage, I stood up. The brick under my hand moved. What? Was the mortar so aged it was crumbling? I heard a door open. I would have no chance to check out the masonry in this old fireplace. Voices came down the hall, only two voices, Pearlie's and a man's, possibly Albert's. Knowing I was trapped, I tried to gather my rattled wits and think of an excuse for being there. Or should I return to my hiding place? But the voices moved away from me and up the stairs. Could I manage to go back down the hall and out the front door, undetected? I picked up my dish of lasagna and tiptoed from the kitchen. Sidling along the wall, I reached the front door and eased it open. So far, so good. Closing the door behind me, I trotted down the steps and along the path to my car, thanking the Lord that the family had used the back driveway and also for the cloudy day and my black SUV, hard to spot in the gloom. Climbing inside, I turned the key and slowly drove down the driveway toward the road. I shook all the way back to my house and didn't stop shaking until I was safely inside my own kitchen, a cup of chamomile tea in my hands, with Penny on my lap and Ulysses keeping watch. Decidedly, I wasn't cut out to be an undercover agent. It would have been too hard on my heart. But how would I get back into the house to check out the loose brick in the fireplace? Or was it just one of many bricks that had loosened with the centuries?